Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What signs let you know that Christmas is coming? For 40 years, I didn't need a calendar or anything to tell me other than looking outside to know that Christmas was coming. For those of you from the Midwest, you know you just look outside and when the snow falls, it's soon going to be Christmas time. It's cold, it's dreary. That's the time you start putting out your Christmas lights, getting your Christmas tree up. But there are plenty of other signs outside of the weather to let you know that Christmas is here. If you have been to any store in the last week or so, you will have seen them flooded with people, but also decorations and signs and sales for Christmas. If you have avoided going out of your house, you probably still have been bombarded by emails to let you know that you can shop online, or the Christmas specials on TV, that you know that it is that time of year. I don't know if it's possible in our day and age to miss Christmas. I mean, even if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, even if you hate Christmas, everyone still knows when it is and what's going on. There are many signs of Christmas and that it is coming. And yet, how many in our world miss the true meaning of Christmas? They see the signs, they get caught up in the worldliness of Christmas, but miss Christ. And so again this evening, we look with longing eyes to the manger. We prepare our hearts for the coming Messiah and celebrate what Christmas truly is. So I invite you to look there at the words from Isaiah chapter 7, beginning with verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey, when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria." This is the word of our Lord. Right in the middle of this text, you have one of the most famous prophecies concerning Jesus Christ and his birth. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. We take that verse out and we use it in our Christmas services. We use it to talk about the prophecies that Christ was going to come, that he would be born of a virgin, that he would take on human flesh, that he would be God with us. But the context of this prophecy is ever so shocking. The Lord here is speaking through Isaiah to King Ahaz. Now, you may not be overly familiar with King Ahaz. He was not one of the good kings. So he was one of the unbelieving kings that was ruling in Jerusalem. And at this time, the reason this conversation is going back and forth between the prophet and God and the king is because Jerusalem was under siege from none other than the northern kingdom. It was a civil war going on in Judah at this time. Israel, the northern kingdom, had allied themselves with Aram, one of the enemies, and had come down to Jerusalem to overtake the land of Judah, the southern kingdom. And in the midst of this, King Ahaz was trying to figure out what to do. Now, as an unbelieving king, he didn't turn to God. Instead, he decided to turn to the Assyrians for help. That obviously did not please the Lord. And so that's where you meet up here in this text, where the Lord is speaking to Ahaz about Ahaz's plans to ally themselves with Assyria. And the prophet says, ask the Lord for a sign. Why don't you talk to the Lord for some help, King Ahaz? And Ahab's response, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to test the Lord. And then Isaiah speaks these words of prophecy. Hear now the house of David. Are you trying the patience of God? And then this prophecy. This beautiful prophecy that speaks of this virgin birth. A sign unlike any other in all of history. I mean, just think about it. If you started hearing rumors that a virgin gave birth to a child, that should wake you up. That should call your attention, because it's the only time in all of history that that's happened. And God said, this will be the sign that you should be aware of. That what the Lord is saying is true. Listen, pay attention. God will be with us. This prophecy that was given here to Ahaz, we take in a most positive way. The coming Messiah, that God was going to make his dwelling among people, that he would be born of a virgin. It also had some positive meaning for King Ahaz, that the Lord was going to drive out Israel and Aram, that he was going to protect Judea. He was going to save them, just as he had promised. But it also had a negative side to it. As King Ahaz would have heard these words, that a virgin was going to give birth to a son, that this new king would be born of a virgin, that would be offensive. Because how does the next king come to the throne? Through the king, right? That the king would have the next son. And here, it's not going to come from a king. It's going to come from this virgin. And then he's going to be lowly on top of it. He's going to eat like a common person, curds and honey. But he will be a good king. He will be the Lord's king. He will be on the throne of David. He will restore things to the house of Israel. Well, except for there's going to be this time where the Assyrians come in and wipe things out and have some, again, cause problems there in Jerusalem. But again, you hear these words. And again, the people of Israel heard both the positive and the negative. They heard that there were, again, punishments awaiting them. That King Ahaz was not a believer and it wasn't going to turn out well according to his plans. But that God would rule, that God was in charge, that God was still going to save his people. And over the next 750 years, people would repeat these words of prophecy. They would hear that the Messiah is coming, that God was going to send his son born of a virgin. They would look forward to that with anticipation. You know, as you get there to the birth of Christ and you hear about Simeon and Anna with their eager expectations. They couldn't wait for Christ to be born. They were the ones that were blessed to hold the baby Jesus in their arms. There were many others in Israel that were expecting and eager for Emmanuel to be born, for him to come. What about us? Are we eager and excited for Christmas? I know that growing up as a child, Christmas was one of the most exciting times of the year. Couldn't wait for Christmas morning. But was it because Jesus was born? Or was it because I got to unwrap the presents? Isn't that what, you know, again, as a child, sometimes they would lose that focus? But what about as adults? What's your eager expectation for Christmas? When it's all done? When you're finally through the busyness in the holiday season? When you can put everything away and life can calm down for a little bit? Isn't that what we're looking forward to? How we get misguided. How we get off track when it comes to our celebration of Christmas. Christ is born. Christ takes on human flesh. This word Emmanuel, God with us, is so meaningful, so impactful to our lives. That God didn't just hang out in heaven, but he came down to earth. He lived in our place. He lived for you and for me. He lived a perfect life on our behalf. And again, the prophecy speaks about that. This boy, speaking of Christ Jesus, will reject the wrong and choose the right. He will do what we can't do. Now again, oftentimes we start out with good intentions in our lives. We desire to choose the right, but we fail. We go down the wrong path. We make poor choices. We commit sins against our God. We choose wrong. And oftentimes we reject the right. But not Christ. Christ was perfect on our behalf. Christ did what we could not do. He became a man. It was God with us so that he could live in our place and then die on the cross, could shed his blood for our sins to take them all away. That's what we celebrate on Christmas. We anticipate and we look forward to Christ being born, taking on human flesh as an infant, being born of the Virgin Mary, so that he could live in our place, he could die on the cross to take our sins away, and yes, rise from the dead to prepare a home for us, to guarantee our place with God forever. This was all God's plan. God did this for you and for me. As we ponder again, as we anticipate Christmas, we see the signs. You look around church and you see all of the decorations. You know that it's that time of year. You prepare in your own homes. We gather together here on Wednesdays, mornings, or evenings to hear again, to get our hearts ready for Christmas, to look forward to Christ coming in the manger. Be cautious. Be careful. There are many distractions. There are many other signs, many things that we follow after that get in the way of the true Christmas celebration. In the mixture here of all that was going on in Israel, all of the chaos, all of the problems, just like we have in our day and age, God makes a promise. God promises to redeem his people, to keep his promises, to send his son, to be with us both now and forever. Amen.